Podcast with your host, Matthew M.
Hello and welcome back to the Clean and Filthy Podcast, where we are clean and serene with the filthy mind in between. I am your host, Matthew M., and I am an addict in recovery. First off, welcome back, everybody. Episode 6. Thank you, everybody, for all of the continuous support. I really, really appreciate it. Our podcast has officially broken 150 downloads. So thank you, everybody. Obviously couldn't have done it without you guys. And it really just, you know, shows that we're doing something here. You know, we're really trying to get the message out about recovery and what, you know, we do in recovery and who we are as addicts in recovery. So thank you, everybody, for all of your support. Really, really appreciate it. Before we go any further, got to give a huge shout out to our episode sponsors. Again, we have Etc. by Emily. If you are looking for any kind of event staffing or if you're looking for a job, check her information out in the description below. And again, we have Metaphysical Minds, new company that just recently launched, specializing in all types of crystals and sage and all kinds of other, you know, spiritual things. So check them out in the description below as well. Have to give a huge thank you to Valentino Khan and Alice in Wonderland for allowing us to use their amazing track, Anything, as our theme music for this podcast. Really, really appreciate it, as I say every time. Whenever I hear that song going, it just gets me hype. I love it. I love it so much. And also have to give a huge thank you to our VIP supporters. These are people on Patreon that are making donations to help grow this podcast. And they are Char, Clint, and Alex. And if you would like to be one of our VIP supporters, please head over to Patreon. You can get there easiest by going to www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. And up in the top right corner where all the social media links are, you'll have the Patreon link there and you can make a donation. And for everybody who's making donations, you get one of these awesome Clean and Filthy Podcast stickers sent out to you wherever you are to help rep for the brand, help this brand grow, help us do some big things. I really hope that everybody had a great week. I had a wonderful week. As you can tell, my foot's getting better. I'm no longer sitting sideways. Shout out to Paul Wall. That was a fire song back in the day. Sitting sideways. Anyway, so it's healing. Still purple. Still swollen. But I'm able to walk and, you know, hopefully fix anybody's OCD. And I'm properly lined up here. So you're welcome. Well, really, I'm just saying thank you that my ankle's feeling better. Also, we had some technical issues last week. We might have some technical issues this week. Apparently, Cox Cable is doing system upgrades. So I've been having all kinds of stress level on fleek, as my internet has just been deciding to go out today. So hopefully, higher power willing, we can make it through this episode and the meeting that I get to chair later without any kind of internet issues. That's fingers crossed here. That's what we're going for. So if there are connectivity issues, we're going to just go with it and see what happens. I don't have an IT guy. I am the IT guy. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully one day, you know, as this podcast grows and builds, we will have an actual IT guy, or maybe even a set location. We got some big plans for the future. But again, none of those things could happen if it wasn't for each and every one of you that is either listening or watching live right now. So thank you all. If you are watching live right now on YouTube, what up, everybody? Get that chat going. I love to go back and read it afterwards. So get that chat going, everybody. If you're not listening live or watching live on YouTube and you would like to, please realize that every single Tuesday we are here live on YouTube.com. It's at 5 p.m. Arizona time. Like I said, we get a good group of people in there having fun, chatting. It's just a nice little community. And so if you're listening to this on a podcast directory, thank you very much for your download. I really hope you hear something you like. And while you're at it, maybe head on over to YouTube. Watch the episode live. Throw me a subscribe. Would really, really appreciate it. And also, if you are watching, or if you are watching this live on YouTube and you want to help this channel grow, please just head to wherever you download your podcasts. Maybe go to all the places you could download podcasts. And please like us, follow us, subscribe to us, and download each episode. That's how we grow. That's how we move further up. And eventually, that's how we're going to be making some advertising money as well. So, you know, I really appreciate everybody for doing that. If you have any questions about the social media, you can again head to www.queenandfilthypodcast.com. And along the top is all of the social media. So please, you know, like us and follow us on Facebook. Please follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. You know, hop on Patreon if you'd like. But most importantly, especially right now, is YouTube. I'm really trying, as we said before, to get a custom URL for this podcast. So if you are watching on YouTube right now, if you wouldn't mind, please liking the video, maybe throw a comment. It helps the algorithm. And then also please, please, please subscribe. We're almost to 100 subscribers. So as soon as we get that, we get to change our branding a little bit. And I'm really excited about that. So again, for more information, you can head right on over to our website and get everything that you need right there. So before we go into our first segment, we got to discuss what we're here for, what we are, and what we aren't. Again, my name is Matthew M. I am an addict in recovery, and this is the Clean and Filthy Podcast. We are a podcast to discuss recovery. We are a podcast for recovering addicts, for people who maybe aren't in recovery yet, maybe have curiosity about recovery or about addiction. That's what we're here to do, but we are not a 12-step fellowship meeting. We discuss the steps, concepts, principles, traditions of 12-step recovery, but I personally am not endorsing or speaking as a representative for any 12-step recovery. That's not what we do here. So I will not be giving any recommendations about meetings or my home group or, you know, what fellowship you should do or what treatment center you should go to or what recovery residence or sober living you should go to. That's not what we're here to do, because I want to make sure I don't violate any traditions and make sure that I am, you know, staying in line with that. So if you have questions about any of those topics that we are not going to be discussing directly here, please reach out to me directly. You can email me at Matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com, or you can contact me on any of the social medias, and we will, you know, I'm more than happy to help get you to a meeting, say what my favorite meetings are, all those things. But I do not want to ever come across as though I am an authority from any, you know, 12-step perspective. That's not what we do here. I really want to make sure that we stay in line with traditions on that. This is a meeting discussing recovery, but it should not replace, you know, going to an actual meeting or calling your sponsor or working steps. This is just a resource for people who are out there who maybe are struggling or maybe don't know how to get started in recovery, or maybe are just confused by all of the terminology and all of the words. And well, that's what terminology means. Wow. And all of the things, because it can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming making this decision that you're wanting to change and not really knowing where to start or what to do. So please, you know, if you have questions that we don't address directly in here, please reach out to me regarding them. And also, if you have any comments, feedback, if you got any notes, please send them over. At the end of the day, I want to make this product as you know, enjoyable for everybody who's out there watching or listening. So if you have any, you know, comments, questions, concerns, just don't like it, whatever, please let me know. I really, you know, want to, I value all opinions, and I really want to hear as much feedback as possible. And if you hear something you like here, please like us, share us, subscribe, all that. That's how we're going to grow. At the end of the day, you know, anybody who's watching or listening right now, if you hear something that you like, forward this to somebody that might like it as well. Or as I said last week, even if you don't like it, send it somewhere. Just help us grow. Help us grow. So again, that's what we're here to do. And, you know, I hope everybody enjoys episode number 6. So let's get into our first segment.
Let's head to the lab for some R&D. Recovery and development.
That's right. It is time for our first segment titled R&D, Recovery and Development. This is a segment of the show where we discuss one of the steps, traditions, concepts, or spiritual principles that are within 12-step recovery. We just kind of give a little bit of overview about them. We discuss, you know, what they mean, go a little bit deeper than what the words are, and how we as addicts implement them into our lives. Now, again, I'm not going to be speaking from any specific 12-step fellowship perspective, but this is just giving some general knowledge about, you know, what the steps are, what the different spiritual principles are within them, and the process of working through them. If you're not in recovery and you're thinking, what does this matter? I can tell you, I have personally gotten a lot of feedback from people that aren't in recovery that have listened to this podcast that found that things that we discuss within the steps can be very applicable in multiple aspects of life. Because at the end of the day, even if, you know, someone isn't personally impacted by the disease of addiction, or maybe they don't realize they are, there are elements within here that are all about growth. You know, as I always say, recovery is about growing and becoming a better human being. So even if you don't have a drug problem or an addiction with to something, a process addiction or some kind of issue with that, there are still so many spiritual principles within the step work that can be really, really helpful. So I encourage you to stick around, check it out, and maybe you'll hear something you like. So it is week 6, and we are on step 6. I know I've mentioned it before. This, to me, was the most important step I've worked of the 12 steps since I've been in recovery. I will say it, as I said, in episode 3. Again, if you haven't listened to that, please check out episode 3 of the Clean and Filthy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or just click back and watch the video. But step 3 was the most important step for my recovery. Step 6 has been the most important step within my personal growth. And I also will preface it by saying, as I said in episode 4, that this was the scary step for me. This was the painful step for me. Fourth step was not scary. The fourth step was not some huge fearful type of thing. But the sixth step, though, whew, because now I'm having to look at myself. I'm having to look at myself honestly. Oof. Yeah, we're going to get into all that. First off, the sixth step says, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. First off, steps are definitely in order for a reason. One of the most important spiritual principles that we are building with is that of humility. And working an honest fourth step and an honest fifth step helps us develop humility. And we're going to talk a lot more about humility next week when we get to step 7. But one of the things that it discusses is that it, within the literature, is that humility allows us to see who we actually are. Not the best, not the worst. A true understanding of who we really are. And that, like I said, we're going to discuss this a lot more next week in step 7. Because humility is huge, and I love discussing humility. Because I had such an interesting and weird perspective on it prior to coming into recovery. But the steps are definitely in order, because if I would have been trying to look at the things inside me, the things that have been, you know, festering my entire life after working a first step, oh God, or a second step or a third step, they are definitely in order for a reason. Because once we have worked through all the 5 steps up to this point, we have a foundation. We have a structure that we can rely on. We've developed some spiritual principles, some sense of spirituality that we can rely on with this step, because this step is painful. At least it was for me. It was for me because I didn't want to view those things that were in there. I didn't want to see those things at the end of the day. I wanted to continue living how I'd been living. But this step doesn't allow that. It doesn't allow us to continue living how we've been living. So the spiritual principles within this step are definitely willingness. That is the main one, you know, to have the willingness to really look at who we are. Honestly. Yeah, that word honesty. Whew, I know a lot of addicts out there. Maybe they aren't admitting to it, but honesty is a difficult thing for us. But in addition to willingness, we have to have perseverance. We got to keep working through the pain, because I can tell you from my experience, strength, and hope that the payoff is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It just takes a lot of work. In addition to perseverance, we got to have honesty. I know, honesty. I'm saying it again. I'm going to say it a lot, because honesty in this step is so, so massively important. And we got to have faith. We got to have faith in the program. We got to have faith in our sponsor. We have to have faith in our higher power. Without faith, it can feel like the pain will be never ending. It can feel like things aren't going to get better. And of course, those three things I just mentioned, we have to have trust in all three of those as well, in the process, in recovery, in our higher power, in our sponsor. That was four. I can't do math today, apparently. And then lastly, we have to have self-acceptance. And that comes through the pain. You know, that pain that we've been building on, that self-acceptance within the fourth step and within the fifth step. And now we really are getting to the heart of the onion that we've been peeling the layers back on. And the pain of looking so deeply at the darkest and nastiest and grimiest parts of our being allows us to have that level of self-acceptance. You know, as I said before, we aren't a collection of our actions. That our actions don't define us. And once we can accept that and grow within that self-acceptance, we then can realize that humility piece. We can see ourselves as we truly are. We're not the best. We're not the worst. I'm not the absolute worst, you know, scum of society that has poisoned the entire world. And I'm not the greatest, hottest, most wonderful piece of, you know, whatever work there is. I'm how I honestly am. So this step is a massive action step. It says in our literature, it says, how sincerely we work this step will be proportionate to our desire for change. Now, change is a scary thing. Change is a very scary thing. For me personally, change was one of the reasons that, or my fear of change was one of the reasons I stayed in active addiction for so long, because it felt safer. It was much less painful. Having to even make the observation that I need to make a change, God forbid even doing the work of changing, that's scary. That is a scary thing. And it often feels safer, you know, and definitely less painful to cling to the things that we know rather than entering the unknown. You know, there can be that element of fear of who am I going to become once these character defects aren't part of my being. And some of my character defects have been with me since as long as I can remember. I've got a very, very close, intimate, deep connection with some of these. Or at least I did. You know, these are things that were part of my being. Not like a conscious choice that I was going to be dishonest. That was my go-to. You know, when we live in character defects for so long, and when we're in active addiction, That's our safety net. They become us in a lot of ways. They become our go-to. Like I said, that safety net. So it wasn't even a conscious choice of like, I'm going to be dishonest. I'm going to manipulate. It's just where I automatically went. So unpacking that and stepping that back and doing the work to unfuck up a lifetime. It takes effort. It takes perseverance. As we said, you know, before, it takes that element of knowing that you need to do something different, even when it's painful. You know, and it says in the literature that like when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the fear of change, we will do something about it. And again, why the steps are in order? Because the things, my character defects that were horribly obvious in at 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, when I'd worked a first step or a second step, they didn't feel painful at that point. I was okay with them. Some of them I wasn't even realizing. You know, a lot of them I didn't even understand were there. But I was okay with them. But once we've worked through that fourth step and that fifth step, and we start to see those patterns, and we start to see our behavior and our go-tos, once we're aware of them, it makes it so much more difficult to live in them. And we'll get to that a little bit further, because I want to kind of go in order here. But next part of that is we have to have a connection to our higher power. Because so often in a stressful situation, or in a situation that doesn't go the way we want it to, or in even the most mundane, oh, this guy just cut me off in traffic, we revert back to our character defects. That is our go-to. Like I said, that safety net. So having a higher power that we can rely on, and that we can even just ask, like, please don't let me act in this way. Just making that observation, having some element of connection, so important. And it's also because, like, having that higher power is built on faith. And as I said earlier, faith is one of the things that we need to work a sixth step. We have to have faith that this program really does work, that these steps really do work, that our higher power really has our back and can help us through the pain. And that's sometimes easier said than done. I can admit that from my experience, strength and hope. That is a lot of times easier said than done. But by doing that, it allows us to really focus on aligning with our higher power's will. For me, one of the best ways to identify, even now at this point in my life, is looking at, am I acting in defect? And I don't even have to act that. I can just ask, is what I'm doing in alignment with my higher power's will? Third step stuff. And by doing that, I know that I'm not acting in defect. Because I know it's not my higher power's will for me to act in defect. If I am acting in defect, if I am making a, even if I'm not making a conscious choice for it, but if I'm making a conscious choice to approach a situation and act in defect, I'm inherently not in line with my higher power. I said inherently again. I got one of the comments that somebody said is that I say inherently too much. Inherently, I do, I guess.
That part.
So when we're able to keep in alignment with the third step, with our higher power's will, we are focusing on being, you know, not in our defects. And one of the most important elements to look at when we ask, well, what's the higher power really going to do within the sixth step? Any time in my life that I would even be aware of a character defect, even if I tried to change it, I never was able to, because this was all in my own will. So there has to be something that has helped relieve these character defects from me. And that would be a higher power. That would be the higher power piece. So the higher power is so important within this step. And how it applies to your personal sixth step might be different. It might be in a much different way than how it works within mine. You might be listening to this and saying, wow, the third step doesn't even factor in. Higher power's will doesn't even line up with that. And that's fine. That's your experience. You know, this is simply my experience, strength, and hope. And like I said, some of my opinion. But that's where we're going with this. So again, why we do the steps in order. Do not jump into a sixth step. Because one of the most beautiful things of the fourth and fifth step is that we're able to see those patterns of our behavior. Because those patterns in our, you know, in our behavior is where we see the elements that we need to work on. And sometimes we aren't even cognizant of those elements, of those defects. So having a sponsor is so important, because a sponsor can point out those things. As we discussed, you know, the last couple weeks, we can see what we need to take responsibility for and what we don't. We can see what is truly a character defect and what isn't. And we can really put together the list of our character defects and see what it is that has been impacting our behavior pattern for all of our active addiction, and for some of us, our entire lives. our entire lives are built around character defects in some way, whether it's from childhood, whether it's from trauma, whether it's from experiences, whether it's from, you know, positives or negatives. It doesn't always have to be negative things that lead to character defects. It could be positive things that lead to, you know, just too much of them by chance. You know, those things can all lead to core parts of us that we go back to and that we use to express who we are. And that could be a very, very scary thing, you know, to actually look at that, to actually look at the things that we have to come to grips with, you know, that we have to say, wow, okay, all right, yeah, that's who I am. You know, it says in our literature that our defects are basic human traits distorted by our self-centeredness. And that's something that we're going to get into a little bit more, but that self-centeredness piece is so important because addicts in nature, we're obsessive, we're compulsive, and we're totally self-centered. That's what the triangle of our disease is. You know, it's a triangle of self-obsession. That is our basis of our disease is total self-centeredness. And that comes up with, you know, like it says, basic little human aspects that when we apply that self-centeredness to, we grow into character defects. And I got to say, you know, one of the most important things within that fourth and fifth step is even becoming aware of our defects. Because before we can change anything, we have to have awareness. And as I said, there were plenty of things that popped up that I didn't even realize until I put that pen to paper, until I went over my step work with my sponsor. And some of them, he had to point out for me. He had to say, hey, what about this one? I was like, oh, damn, you're right. And then get to look at how that piece has factored in to behavior patterns over my entire life. And that can be scary to learn, you know, those things you didn't know about yourself. Like, this is me. I've been this person for my entire life. And you're telling me I didn't know this about me? That's a scary thing. And that's where that fear has to turn into faith and realize that, you know, those parts of me can grow into something positive. I can take this negative and look at the spiritual principles that would be the opposite of that character defect. And then I can work on implementing those into my life. Yeah, I love the sixth step so much. I love it so much. Because like I said, you know, that acknowledgement has to be done before we can take any amount of action to change it. If we don't know what's there, then we've got some issues. You know, and the other piece, the other word that I want to touch on here is, it says willingness to entirely have these removed. And that's a scary thing because it doesn't mean that we just say, okay, well, I want to, you know, work on this character defect, but only in this part of my life. Nah, it says entirely. We were entirely ready. All right. So entirely means in all facets. It's not just, oh, I don't want to be egotistical at work. No, it's, I don't want to be egotistical. It's not, okay, I don't want to lie just to my wife. No, it's, I don't want to lie. I don't want to be dishonest. And that's something we're going to discuss a little bit further down here. That's scary. That's scary because that shakes core building blocks of my personality completely. It's not just in one little element. It's across the board. And so it's not just like, oh, I'm just going to do a little bit. No, I'm just going to do a little bit off of this and a little bit off of this. No, it's entirely. And we can't just gloss over this step. You know, if we just are like, oh, yeah, whatever, 6 and 7, I want to go make my amends. No. No, because if we don't acknowledge our behavior patterns, if we don't acknowledge our part in our, you know, in our fourth step, in our fifth step, if we don't take responsibility for our behavior, we are doomed to repeat. nothing changes if nothing changes. If we don't take the time to look at those things and change those things, inevitably they will repeat. So, you know, once we develop a list of our character defects, I can tell you personally, my experience, strength, and hope is once I have acknowledged these character defects, once I've, you know, now learned things that I didn't know I didn't know, living in them feels icky. Spiritually, it feels off. It feels gross. And that's not to say that there aren't times that I don't live, that I don't act in defect. There's not to say that I don't ever, you know, consciously see a character defect and then still walk into it or still sit with it, because that does happen. Again, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We are all human beings. We will all fall into defect at times, no matter how spiritual or perfectly spiritually fit we think we are. Nobody in recovery is different than anybody else. We are all human beings. So when that does happen, now that I'm cognizant of these character defects, living in them is much less pleasurable and is much quicker to become painful. Because there will be times in the past, before I'd worked a six step, I felt absolutely no issue with dishonesty. None. To the point that there were times I almost felt like maybe I'm a sociopath, because like I was perfectly fine lying to somebody for my own self-interest and not giving a flying fuck about their feelings. This was an active addiction, mind you, but still. And there have been times in with my selfishness that I've wanted to do something, so I've done it, not caring or even considering the level of pain or hurt that could cause somebody. Or maybe considering it, but not being empathetic or valuing it as much as I valued my selfish wants and desires. And that's a really gross feeling. Once we've developed any amount of spirituality and have a connection with our higher power, that doesn't feel okay, at least to me. My experience within this, that doesn't feel okay to me. Living within a lie or living within defect is not a way I want to live. It's not living. It's being chained to my old ways. It's being chained to my addict mindset. It's not living life based on spiritual principles. It's not growing. It's not becoming a better person. It's reverting back to whatever that was prior to getting into recovery. And whatever that was, oof, that was ugly. That was ugly. You know, and it says in the literature, it says, now, once we've developed and become aware of our character defects, now indulging in these character defects clouds our ability to think logically. Because so often, you know, in the past, our character defects were tied to selfish type of things, things that made us feel better. And then we could get caught in this element of, well, I want this for me. You know, for me, ignorance was bliss. Ignorance was bliss for so much of my life. So much of my life was just like, yeah, whatever. It's not a defect. I can't recognize it as a defect. I didn't want to, I wasn't even willing enough to look at myself as it could be a defect. Controlling, self-centeredness, I mean, manipulation, dishonesty. I knew I was dishonest, but I didn't view it as a character defect. I was just like, yeah, it's whatever. But now that I have that list and I see those things and I see other ones come up in me, ignorance cannot be ignorance anymore, because I'm not ignorant to my character defects. Now that they are out in the open, I have to do something about them. You know, my list was, it was intense. You know, my personal list had dishonesty, control, manipulation, procrastination / laziness, self-sabotage, overthinking, perfectionism, ego, avoidance / non-confrontation, denial, and living in fantasy. And let me tell you, now that I've put all those out there and I've written about each one of those things in detail, living in that defect drains my time and my energy, and it just sucks it out of me.
Phrasing?
Wow. Yes, it sucks the energy out of me. And for me, a part of what I love about being clean is being full of energy for life. And if I'm dedicating that energy to a defect, that is a waste of resources as far as I'm concerned. I only have so much energy, spiritual, actual. Today it's a little lacking. That's why, look at that with the green screen. Yeah, we got the bang going today. That's awesome. But I only have so much energy to focus in any one area or multiple areas. Why do I need to put that into something negative? Again, not saying that sometimes I don't. But it's such a waste, and it's such a just energy drain. But it can be difficult, because sometimes some of our character defects, we can almost look at as skills. We can almost look at them like, especially an active addiction. It's almost something that we don't want to let go of. You know, I've shared this before. There will be times where I would just live in fantasy of, it's okay, I have no money, but I'm going to get money. I'm going to find a way to get money. And that I almost wore as like a badge of honor. And I still struggled with that early on in recovery. That living in fantasy, that denial of there being a problem, that denial of needing to take action. Because I viewed that as like a badge of honor. You know, look at how resourceful of an addict I was. I'm still a resourceful recovering addict. Hooray. But that's not a healthy perspective. That's not a spiritual perspective. When we're really looking at our spirituality and we're really looking at our character defects and what we need to do for them. But again, I still struggle with things. I struggle with dishonesty. That's something I've always struggled with. Since I was a child, I have struggled with dishonesty. And for me, it's always the easier way. It's always the easier and less painful way. When somebody says, hey, do you want to come over? Well, this is pre-COVID, obviously. Rather than saying, no, I'm good. I want to lay in my sweatpants and eat a pizza and chill solo dolo. I would come up with a reasoning why I couldn't. No, you know, I've got to go over here and do this with this and that. And we don't have to live that way. But that also ties into my avoidance / being non-confrontational. That's something I've always struggled with. I've always struggled with that. About, you know, standing up for things that mattered to me in certain areas. And just not wanting to engage. So even a situation like that, just being direct and honest always seemed like the last, most painful option. I can just throw a little lie in there. Whatever. But again, it says in the step, that entirely word. So I have to remember that it's not picking and choosing. It's not okay to go and lie to this person because it's the easier way. And with certain people, sometimes it might be the less painful way. Though, it always comes out. It all, like, lies always come out. And so I've gotten to the point where I'm just, there's no reason to lie. Because if I speak my truth, whether you like my truth or not, or whether you appreciate or respect my truth or not, it's still my truth. It's still my perspective on the situation. And sometimes that can cause difficulty. Sometimes that can cause problems. That can cause pain to somebody. So we have to be spiritual in nature with how we approach these things. Because sometimes we can go so far the opposite way. I was like, you know, okay, this is an honest program. I'm going to be completely honest. And I did not have a filter. Discretion was not a thing. There was no like, oh, okay, well, I'll just say the amount that needs to be said. And that's not being manipulative. It's just giving the information in a truthful way without having to expound on it. And that is a skill that I have developed in recovery. The fact that no is a full sentence, I have really developed in recovery. And not having to say every single element of something, that's perfectly fine. And I'm being honest. But that's still one I struggle with. Overthinking. Overthinking is something that I struggle with at least weekly. At least weekly, I will get lost in my head and I have to make a conscious effort to recenter myself. I have to make a conscious effort to focus my thoughts off of wherever they're spiraling. Happened last night. Happened again earlier today. Both times when my internet decided to stop working. The entire spiral at 2:30 this morning when my internet turned off of what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then coming up with every single thing. Do I bring all of this stuff over to my mother's house, to my best friend's house? What am I going to do about a green screen? What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? Overthinking is something that I struggle with. But if I can dial it back and remember that I have faith in my higher power, then I don't have to overthink. I still do it a lot. That takes a lot of work. Perfectionism is another one. Perfectionism is something I have worked on so much, especially with launching this podcast, because I would have still been delaying, honestly, if I was trying to get it as perfect as I wanted it. We wouldn't be on our sixth episode right now, because for me, I want everything to be as perfect as it can be. I've always been that way. I've always been that way on certain topics. And so that's something that I struggle with. And I still struggle with procrastination. There are still plenty of days that I know I have things I need to do. And unless they're directly in line with something I have to do for the fellowship, I will push it off. There are plenty of those days. The thing for me with procrastination is finding the balance between procrastinating and something being just kind of a normal, you know, part of just self-care. So those are things that I struggle with still, you know, and it one of the things it talks about is it says, we must remember that we are human and we will make mistakes. Steps 6 and 7 are a process. They are a process to developing the willingness to let go and have these defects removed from us. It's not a snap of the fingers. It's something we work at. It's something we work at sometimes on a daily basis. Sometimes we get opportunities to, you know, if somebody cuts you off at traffic, right? If your initial reaction is, man, fuck you. But you don't. That's an opportunity to show growth spiritually of character defects, to work past that character defect of anger. To be able to, if you're sitting in an area service meeting and somebody's trying to push an agenda one way and you feel that you need to defend it from a personal control perspective and you don't, that's an opportunity to walk through that character defect. So just because we act on a character defect, even when it does happen, that doesn't mean we're a bad person. It happens. Step 6 is here to help us, keep us on a path leading to harmony and peace. But there's no such thing as spiritual perfection. Because I know there have been times for me where I haven't acted on a defect in a long time and then it pops up and I'm like, God damn, where'd that come from? I thought I was past that. But just because we're past something doesn't mean that a certain situation or a certain issue isn't going to pop up. And that's okay. All that matters is that we're trying and we're willing to continue progressing. Because I know for me, I know I'm not the same person that I was when I growing up, when I first got into recovery, even than what I was 6 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe last month. And that's because of working a truly, honestly working a sixth step and continuing to try and implement it into my life. So for me, I love the sixth step. We're going to go more, you know, deeply into it. We're going to do a deeper dive on a later episode because there's so much within the sixth step that we could discuss. But that's kind of the overview of the sixth step and how it, you know, relates to me personally. So that's what we got for R&D this week. Next up, next on our show, hold on, once we That's really cool. If you're not watching this on YouTube, I apologize, but it's really cool because my can is green, so it's green screening. It's kind of fun. But next up, we've got my favorite moment of the week. Now, this is a segment of the show where we discuss something regarding the past week of life, pop culture, news, sports, music, Instagram, whatever's popped up in the last week that was my favorite moment of the week. And I will say that I think lately we've been kind of doing it almost more of like a week wrap up with my favorite moment of the week. And we're going to do that again today because there were a lot of things this week that were my favorite moments of the week. Falcon and the Winter Soldier officially streaming on Disney. Yes. So well done. Loved it so much. I'm going to save all of that for my future Marvel podcast that I'm going to do at, I don't know, some point. Sure. Amazing. If you like Marvel at all, it was fire, 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 fire. Loved it. Gotta say, there have been some amazing memes from people getting their stimulus, you know, like the whole, like, there's just some amazing ones. There have been some amazing, absolutely amazing memes. My favorite one was, you know, going to EDC. It's saying that they're going to EDC and they want to spend $1,400 for a helicopter ride with all seven of the Lions. If you know who Seven Lion is, that's funny. There were some great ones of that. I got to say, there were some absolutely hilarious ones about Biden slipping on the steps. The Mario Kart one where he's throwing bananas. I was absolutely hilarious. Also, March Madness. I'm so glad it's back. I mean, it probably shouldn't be, but I'm so glad it's back. I have no tie to any team in there or money on any game in there, but it is so much fun to have, you know, games coming down to the wire. Loved it. Also had an amazing trip over at C2 Tactical. Got to fire some awesome guns. Shot one of the nicest guns I've ever shot. A Sig Sauer 320 X5 Legion. If you've never shot it, shoot it. Cool. I love shooting. Cool. We'll discuss that another time. But my absolute favorite moment of the week was getting to decompress, disconnect, and enjoy one of the most beautiful things I think we have in America, personally. And that took place on a wonderful trip to New Mexico. One of the favorite things that I've had in recovery is just impromptu adventures. You know, back when I was using, adventures weren't a thing. A trip wasn't even a thing. Like the amount of stress that would go into I remember going to a funeral, a family funeral, and I was going to be gone for a week and having to budget and get enough shit to not be sick for a week. And then the stress of traveling with it and shipping it, and I'm with family and I'm getting loaded at a funeral in a bathroom. Ugh, that was horrible. That was a horrible memory. But so often in you know, active addiction, there's no such thing as trips or adventures or, hey, it's, you know, Monday. You want to go take a trip somewhere on Wednesday? Sure, let's do it. Like that spontaneity is something that was so dead in me for so many years. Because the thought process would never happen that way. It would have been in the past. It would have been like, oh, hey, I was able to cop a bunch of this substance. Maybe we should do something. It was never, hey, want to do something, you know? Like now within recovery, I'm able to do that. And so it was a spontaneous trip. It was a spontaneous trip that we said, we're just going to go to New Mexico. So took a nice drive through the barren nothingness that is Southern Arizona and the even more barren, even more nothingness that is Western New Mexico, and ended up in Las Cruces. And there's just a different vibe about New Mexico. It's funny, like everybody thinks about Arizona as like the super duper old west, but like everything in New Mexico is just very, I don't want to say old, but it's just got a much older vibe to it. Even just like the Costco didn't have kiosks for food. I mean, there's like little things that just, you know, it's just kind of a weird vibe, but it's also cool. It's like, it's just a different, slower, chill type of vibe. And then we went through a missile testing site because, you know, New Mexico, what else are you going to do out there? You got aliens, you got missile testing. Awesome. But ended up at the White Sands National Park. And oh my goodness, it is something. It's just so weird to be driving through nothingness upon nothingness upon nothingness, and then out of nowhere have miles upon miles upon miles upon miles of white sand nothingness. It's so vast and expansive and beautiful. And if you're interested in nature at all, or you care about it, I highly recommend it. It's absolutely gorgeous. Just being able to just be out in this vast expanse. And it's awesome because they're like, you know, it's so huge, even though there were tons of people there, you never were close to anybody. The closest that we got to anybody was about 10 feet when we were lost looking for our car. And so were they. And we were all caravanning on the road, walking along, trying to find cars. So it was nice being able to be out, be safe, be in nature, and just be in somewhere I've never been before. And that's exciting for me because growing up, I was always traveling. I was always traveling, and I didn't appreciate it, honestly. You know, I was a kid. I was a kid, so I didn't really appreciate all the places that I've been to. But now being clean and getting to experience these things and make memories within these places is so just fun to me. It's just so exciting to me to be able to do that. So I highly recommend it. It's absolutely beautiful. And it just made me feel like I was in the middle of the Sahara Desert, because you look around and there's nothingness. There's just beautiful mountains and beautiful sand. And it was fire. People snowboarding down the sand dunes. Very cool. But the other thing that was cool is then in the span of 2 hours later than that, we went up this place called Cloudcroft. And Cloudcroft is up at like 8,800 feet. So we went from essentially the Sahara Desert, getting burned as hell, to snow on the ground, deers running around eating twigs and berries in the span of literally an hour and a half. And that, you know, disparity just made me just love our country and nature of our country. You know, there's such a vast just difference from one place to the next. And that goes all across this country. We can do that in Arizona. You can do that in New Mexico. You can do that in Nevada. And I love that. And it just felt such a connection to nature and to, you know, just spiritually just feeling good and being able to just, you know, disconnect, not have to worry about, you know, anything that any responsibilities that I had or anybody that I had to respond to or whatever, just being able to just disconnect was such a great feeling. And being able to not be in a fog, that was just the greatest thing. That is one of the greatest joys that I've experienced in recovery, is making memories at these places that maybe I was at when I was younger or when I was loaded, but I don't remember it. And actually getting to remember them and have just pictures and great thoughts and just all of these things associated at a spiritual level that I never have felt before. So the fact that now I'm appreciating these things, it kind of sucks because, you know, I've been to multiple countries, multiple continents, and really didn't appreciate it that much. But hopefully, you know, we'll be able to experience those things again in the future and really get to truly internalize them on a spiritual level. So that was my favorite moment of the week. Again, if you've never been out, you know, through the nothingness of New Mexico, it's a lot of fun. It is the land of enchantment, they say. And if you just, you know, if you're interested in nature at all, I highly, highly recommend going and checking out the gorgeous White Sands National Park. It's gorgeous. It's a prime location for a photo shoot. I'm just saying, it's a prime location for a music video. I might have to like get a drone. This is the plan. When Valentino Khan knows of me and he makes me a custom song for the website and for the podcast, we're going to go to White Sands with a nice drone and some pyrotechnics, and we're going to do a music video there. That I'm calling it right now. On March 23rd, episode 6, I'm putting it in the world. We're going to materialize it. That's what's going to happen. So, hey, you know, I already showed that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So that is my shot into the universe there. We'll see what happens. So that's what I got for this week. absolutely great trip. You know, just being able to just not have to worry about if I was going to have enough dope, being able to just disconnect, everything, absolutely everything. And truly one of the greatest joys of recovery, without a doubt. So now we're going to get into our next segment, which is Ask an Addict.
It's time to Ask an Addict with your host, Matthew M.
That's right. This is the segment of our show where me, an addict, answers viewers and listeners' questions. This part of the show is definitely Experience Strength and Hope with a lot of my opinion. Again, I am not speaking from any point of authority on anybody's fellowship, recovery, whatever, whatever. This is just me, my opinions, and it's fun. If you're interested in having a question answered on air, please submit those questions to Matthew@queenandfilthypodcast.com or contact me on any of the social media, you know, apps that we use, and we would be more than happy to add it for next week. Again, it doesn't have to be recovery related. It can be recovery related, but for me, I just like answering questions. So we've got some great questions today, and again, if you're interested in asking questions, send them on over. So first off, question is, last week I wore a shirt that said Triple Extra on it, and I've got my Triple Extra bracelet here. And if you haven't seen that episode, please go back and check out episode 5. Again, shout out to C4L Designs for that fire shirt. But the question was, why is my nickname Triple Extra? And some of it's pretty, you know, obvious. I'm extra as fuck. Like, just super duper extra.
That part.
That's what I am. I'm very over the top. I've always been a very vivacious person, if you will. I think that's the right use of that word. I don't know. Sounds good. And I've always just been a very excitable, happy person. But once I got into recovery, oh my God, it just went whoop, whoop, whoop all the way through the roof. Like, my excitability and my excitement for life because I'm clean is something that it hasn't gone away. You know, a bunch of old timers when I came in the room were like, yeah, give it some time. You know, the pink cloud that's going to go away and then life will, you know, happen and you'll just be like, no, fuck that. Nope. I am how I am. I love how my life is and I'm excited and I'm excited because recovery is a beautiful thing. So I've always been extra, and I had about like 100 days clean, and I went to my first convention. And if you've never been to a recovery convention, I highly recommend them. They are incredible opportunities for spiritual growth, to connect within a fellowship, to just see what it's all about. And they're just fun. They are just fun at the end of the day. And I was at my first convention. I actually was still living in Vegas at this time. So I drove back from Vegas with a couple of my buddies from recovery in Vegas and went to my first convention. And at the convention, I've always loved being a service. And so like I was a greeter, you know, obviously this is very pre-COVID. So, you know, we were hugging people as they walked into the hotel and, you know, giving a bunch of hugs. And then I was like, oh, you need help with that? Cool. I'll help with that. And oh, you need help with that? Cool. I'll help with that. And then I was greeting at the food little area, the host and hospitality room, as we call it. So it's just like a snack area where, you know, us addicts just binge on coffee and, you know, hang out. And I was just over the top, just everybody came in. I was talking to them. I was whatever. And so one of the vice chair at that time of the convention, you know, she was kind of watching me, and I knew her prior to this, and she's like, wow, you know, you are just so extra. I'm just going to call you Matthew Extra. And I'm like, I love it. And she's like, no, you're Matthew Triple Extra. And I just, you know, for one thing, that's a great porn name. So, you know,
that part.
And then secondly, like, that is me. That is the essence. I am, you know, I am extra as fuck, but that's just like my normal. You get a couple bangs up in me, phrasing, and I mean, it is just on 10, like absolutely on 10. So that is how I became known as Matthew Triple Extra within, you know, the fellowship. So it's funny though, there's still some people who don't know me when I go to meetings that I'm not normally in. And so when my name comes up on the screen and it says, you know, Matthew M, parentheses triple extra. Yeah, some people are like, what is this? Is this guy gonna Zoom bomb us? What the fuck is this? But yeah, that's the reasoning behind my name of being Matthew Triple Extra. And it's I don't see anything changing. I don't see it stopping. You know, I love who I am and I love my energy, and you know, I have that self-acceptance of who I am. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people aren't gonna like it. That's okay. Because at the end of the day, if I'm being true to myself, that's all that matters. You know, I know who I am, and there are going to be people who like it, and there are going to be people who hate it. But regardless, I'm going to be me. So that's the story behind that. Next question is, how does ego get in the way of working the sixth step? Now, this is a very interesting thing, because one of my character defects on my sixth step was ego. But even if we don't look at it from just the character defect aspect of it, even if we just look at it from an overall aspect, our egos so constantly are one of the reasons that we live in denial, or one of the reasons that we don't want to look at ourselves, or one of the reasons that we don't, you know, have awareness. Like for me, like ego, when it's acting in a negative way, is blocking out so many of these things that are truly part of me that I didn't realize, because I wanted to believe I was something better than I was. My ego told me that I was something that I wasn't. So to truly work a sixth step, we have to strip that away. We have to strip that away and look at the things that contributed to that. You know, the ways that our ego had lied to us in the past and kept us from having an honest self-appraisal. Appraisal? Whatever. And that happens so often. You know, so often, you know, you'll hear people talk like in meetings about how they're, you know, an egotistical, they're an egotistic, self-centered, and incredibly insecure. And that's so many of us. So many of us have this fake sense of this inflated ego that we are the hottest shit ever. And that is one of the biggest detriments to actually looking at who we are. And as I said earlier in the sixth step, we have to honestly look at who we are. Honestly. And the ego doesn't want to do that at times. Most of the time. Pretty much every time. Because then that means that if we aren't able to live in ego. You know, one of the things they say, that ego is edging God out. Again, you have a problem with the word God, whatever. Figure out something that works for you and put it in there instead. Phrasing. But that's one of the things where, you know, if we're living in ego, we are disconnecting that sense of spirituality. We're you know, unable to keep that connection. And that connection for me personally is what allows me to continue my work of my sixth step, is that connection. Because when I get disconnected, it can start to snowball. If I'm dishonest on one thing, then it'll become, okay, I'm dishonest on two things. And maybe that ickiness felt bad, that first dishonesty, but it doesn't feel quite as bad the second dishonesty. And it doesn't feel, you know, as bad the third or the fifth or the tenth. And the next thing I know, I'm back living in defect because I pushed away. My ego helped me push away that spiritual aspect of it. So the ego is a really big thing. We're going to talk a lot more about the ego at a later date on another episode once we work through the steps and traditions. But that's going to be something we're going to discuss a lot more. And then kind of a follow-up question for that was, what are my obstacles to adhering to the sixth step? And that's interesting because, again, one of my biggest obstacles is not facilitating and nourishing my spiritual relationship. Because so often when I will find levels of defect or elements of defect that maybe I don't even really realize that I'm living in that moment, they're kind of popping up and I'm, you know, kind of just sitting in them. That's always because of a disconnection with my spirituality. Maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe I'm not meditating enough. Maybe I'm, you know, living too much in self. So for me, my biggest obstacle is making sure that I'm staying truly connected from a spiritual level. Because as I just said, if I'm disconnected, I can easily slide down that slippery slope of defect. I can easily live in defect, even if I'm not even, you know, completely cognizant of it. And then I'll start to look back at things and I'm like, okay, I'm seeing that now. Oh, okay, I'm seeing that now. But those would have been so much more obvious for me if I had been facilitating a true connection with my higher power. If I had been truly making sure that my higher power's will was where my will was lined up, I wouldn't have been able to live in defect. At least, you know, for the majority of the time. Because there are still those times where defects pop up. Defects pop up from situations you wouldn't expect them to or in ways you wouldn't expect them to. Like, I know a lot of my defects. So I'm very aware when a situation is approaching defect territory. But there's other ones that maybe they've been dormant for a while. They haven't been rearing their ugly head. And that's where it can become scary. Because for me, once I start living in one defect, all the rest of them can just come right on out. Just everybody, it's play day, let's go. That's just how it works for me. So I have to really make sure that I'm doing something to facilitate that connection with my higher power. So that's that answer for that. Next question I got is, have I gotten the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, and am I going to? So I have not gotten the vaccine yet. They just changed the law in Arizona to now anybody over the age of 16 is able to. So I'm definitely going to get the vaccine. I'm not exactly sure when yet. And I'll say there's a couple elements to it. I'll admit when it first came out, there was this like, you know, I had that fear of, well, they haven't done enough clinical testing. They haven't done enough clinical testing, which is very funny to, you know, to hear an addict say that. You know, I'm an addict who has snorted substances off of a porta potty toilet. I have smoked things that I don't even know what they were, but I'm worried about what might be in that vaccine. I don't know why. Whatever. Probably fear. Probably some fear in there. So I'm past that. I'm past that element of it. And while there still is some worry because, you know, we haven't had any kind of long-term testing of it, that doesn't scare me enough to not take it. But the main thing that worries me is within myself. Because I know for a fact, if I go get the vaccine tomorrow, I know I'm going to want to go back to the gym. I know I'm going to want to go out into in-person meetings. I know I'm going to want to go see people. You know, I've seen literally 5 people in the last year. And that's what worries me, because we don't know how long the vaccine lasts for. So really, if I'm going to take the vaccine, I need to take the vaccine and continue living life exactly how I've been living it. Because A, we don't know how, you know, there's still, you could have the vaccine, you can still technically get COVID, you know, very small percent, but whatever. But more importantly, we don't know how long the vaccine lasts. You know, so everybody that's gotten the vaccine and now is like, YOLO, who needs a mask? Let's go. That's terrifying to me. Because what if, you know, what if the vaccine lasts exactly 6 months, and at day 6 month and one, now you're susceptible to COVID again. And now we're back in it. So I'm going to get the vaccine, but I have to remind myself that just because I had the vaccine doesn't mean that life is really going to change. I still need to keep doing what I've been doing to be most safe for my family members, for people around me, for my son, for, you know, that's what I need to do. But that's going to be tough because I want to go to in-person meetings, man. I still haven't even gotten my 3-year medallion or my 3-year key tag. I want to go get those selfishly. I want to go to the gym. I'm dying to go to the gym. Dying. Absolutely dying. I mean, not literally, but, you know. But I have to remind myself that those are all my wants and that's all my will. And at the end of the day, if I really care about trying to help the world as a whole, yes, I need to get the vaccine, but I also need to continue living the way I've been living. Maybe I, you know, the only, you know, I don't even want to say maybe then I could change some of the things that I'm doing. I don't even want to say that because technically I need to keep doing all the things I've been doing because up to this point, I haven't gotten COVID. Knock, 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 knock. That's knocking on wood. But then there's also this element, speaking of ego, there's also this weird thing where part of me is like, well, I've never gotten a flu shot and I've never gotten the flu. And that's like, I almost am like, I've made it a year into COVID and I haven't gotten COVID because I've been so safe. So there's this egotistical thing in my mind, and I don't know why, where I'm just like, I don't want to get the vaccine because I want to show I can do without the vaccine. That's complete self-centeredness. It's complete self-centeredness. That's complete defect. Complete defect. But that's still how my mind goes at times. Why? I don't know. Is it healthy? Probably not. Am I going to get the vaccine? Yes. Have I gotten it yet? No, I have not. I definitely am planning to. It's going to be something here sometime soon. Now that things have opened up, hopefully it'll be easier to get vaccines and it won't be a, you know, repeat of the South Park vaccine special. I'm hanging out outside the, you know, Walgreens. So that's what we'll see what happens. That's going to be the next thing on the list of, you know, kind of looking at what of my life could change, what I need to continue doing 100% the exact same. And then finding a location and a time and getting the vaccine, hopefully helping stop COVID so that we can get back to the point where going to meetings or going to the gym are not something I have to consider. Cause it sucks having to make those considerations. Like, wow, you know, I really want to go to the gym, but what about what it could do? Because honestly, I'm not scared to die from COVID. I'm scared of what could happen if I pass it to somebody else. And that's where, you know, where I hear some people say like, oh, you're living in fear. You're living in fear. No, I'm not living in fear. I'm living in respect. I'm living in respect for my mother, for my stepdad, who both are older. And I see them a lot. I'm living in respect for somebody that I might unwittingly pass it to, who then unwittingly passes it to their grandmother, and then their grandma dies. All because I wanted to go to the gym. Because I want to go do this. I want to. Selfishness. It's not necessary. For me, personally. I'm not, and please don't take this as me like talking shit to anybody who's out doing those things. I'm not. I'm saying for me personally, spiritually, that doesn't seem right to me. Within myself, spiritually, that isn't what I need. I know there are people who truly, desperately need to be in in-person meetings. And so they're doing that. There are people who, my cousin's one of them. His sanity is tied so closely to working out. Granted, he already had COVID, but I understand that. But for me personally, I don't feel that it is worth the risk at this moment. If we go another 6 months and I still haven't been able to hit a heavy bag or, you know, put up 255 on a flat bench, even though, God, I probably couldn't even put up 225 right now, then that might change. But for right now, for me personally, I don't feel that that is necessary. So that's what we got for questions today. We got a couple more questions for next week and we'll address those. But again, if you have a question and you want it to be answered on air, send it over to Matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com or send it over on any of the social medias. And of course, if you want to follow the social medias, you head to www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. Like, comment, subscribe, share, follow, tweet, retweet, love, whatever. Just please get us out there. So it's time for my favorite part of the show. This is time for some clean time shout outs. So this is the part of the show where we give recognition to people who have celebrated one of the universally recognized milestones within the fellowship, which is a newcomer, which is 0 to 29 days, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 18 months, multiple years. But we also like to give a little bit of extra shout outs because, you know, especially once you start getting more time, you don't get as much recognition. And as we were talking about ego earlier, sometimes our ego needs to be stroked a little bit.
Phrasing.
That part. So if you celebrated something of a big number, like 100 days, 500 days, 1,000 days, 10,000 days, we're going to give you a shout out here as well. If you have celebrated or are celebrating between now and next Tuesday, please send me an email with your name and how much time you are celebrating so we can give you a shout out here on air. It's a lot of fun. I love it. Again, speaks to being at a convention. If you've never been to a convention, you've never done like a clean time countdown, that is like one of the most spiritual experiences I've felt. laughing, crying, yelling, jumping, screaming. It's fire. Anyway, so first up, most importantly, we've got a newcomer named Sasha. Well done. Next up, we've got Clay with 60 days. Next, we got my boy Ed P with that Action Bronson beard all the way from Massachusetts with 500 days, half a stack. Then with also, we got 500 days, my boy Clint, again, designer for C4L Designs, always hooking it up with the fire clothing. Congratulations on them 500 days. And then we got Andrea with 6 years clean. Boop. Yeah, six shooter. Then we've got Pineapple with 8 years clean. Boop. And finally, we've got Anya with 15 years clean. Boop. I gotta reload. Yeah. Hell yeah. Congratulations, everybody, on your clean time. And of course, as I said, if you've got clean time coming up, send me an email. Let me know so we can shout you out on air and give you some bups for the years. That's what we do here. And if you didn't pick up clean time today, don't use. Keep coming back and you will. That's literally how this program works. So again, huge thank you to everybody for an amazing show. I love each and every one of you. You know, if I don't know you, if you haven't heard it today, please know that I love you and I appreciate you being part of my recovery. And hopefully this podcast was able to help somebody somewhere, because that's what we're here for. Again, please head over and check out all of our social media, everything listed on the website, www.cleanandfiltypodcast.com. If you are listening right now on one of the podcast directories, you hear something you like, please make sure to like us and download all of our episodes. It really helps. And then check us out on YouTube if you want. Or if you're watching on YouTube right now, please, if you could, throw us a download wherever you consume your podcasts. Really helps us grow. And with that said, we're reaching the end of the show. Again, huge thank you to our episode sponsors, Etc. by Emily and Metaphysical Minds. Again, massive thank you to Valentino Khan, Alice in Wonderland for their amazing song, Anything. Shout out to Mad Decent Records for letting us use it. Download information for that's below in the description. Again, thank you everybody for being here. And I can't do it without you guys. What I can't do alone, we can do together. I love each and every one of you. Have a blessed week.